With me, I'm going to be reading from 1 Kings this morning, 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, very familiar passage of Scripture that we all have read many, many times about the prophet Elijah. 1 Kings 17, beginning with the 8th verse, I'm going to read eight verses, 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, Elijah, saying, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow to provide for you." So he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her again and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her whole household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which came by Elijah. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for your word, and ask that you would just add your blessing to it, anoint it, and allow me to minister to your people. I open my heart to you, Father. I ask that you would touch my spirit and allow me to speak words that would take your people to that place that you would have them go. And Father, minister to them and help them. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you know it's all about Jesus? Amen. I want to talk with you about God's provision. Many years ago, I learned through self-experience, through things that happened in my life and through talking with different folks, that there's two ways we can look at this. We can look at it as God being our provider or God being our provision. Now, there's a lot of difference. If God is your provider, then you will be in need and God will provide. But if he's your provision, I like what Paul said, "My God shall supply all of your needs according," if he is your provision. See, everything that I look to comes from God. I know that God uses people and God uses things, but my blessings, all of my blessings come from God. So therefore, I never forget to give him the glory for it. Everything that I have, everything that I ever will have, comes from God. Every time I get up in the morning, I know it may not seem much to some of you, but when you get my age, getting up in the morning is great. And when I get up in the morning, I just say, "Lord, I just want to thank you for another day, another good night's rest." And before we go to bed, "Lord, give us a good night's rest." I just feel that we need to recognize that all of our blessings, everything that we have, comes from God. So he is our provision. Look at someone and say, "God's my provision. God is my provision. God is my provision. He provides for me, but my provision is in him. It's not in earthly things." You know, God will always make sure that you have enough, but he will not give you more than you can handle. It'll always be enough, but it won't be too much. You know, this place of provision and God's provision, this place of provision that we need to come to, we'll find it a perfect example of it in the wilderness when God sent the manna. God sent manna every day, 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, he sent enough for 2 days. And all that was not gathered up rotted. In other words, he sent enough, but he didn't send too much. But he provided for his people. You know, I've found it amazing in life that God always knows what I need before I need it. And when I begin to wonder why things are happening and how I wind up in this particular place or in this circumstance or this situation, sooner or later I recognize that God had his hand in it. I want you to hear me this morning. We all go through stuff. I've been through stuff. You've been through stuff. But God will use it to bring a betterment in your life. All you got to do is trust him and know that that is a part of his provision. God is your healer. God is your helper. God is everything that you will ever need in life. Every provision that you will ever desire, ever need, God's going to make sure that you get it because he is your provision. God is the God that feeds the whole earth. And if he could feed the whole earth, whether it be a mammal or animal or man, well, no matter what it is, whether it's fish, he feeds the whole earth. So therefore, he can certainly take care of me and you. We're not as hard to take care of as we sometimes think that we are. But God has this place of provision. And we'll see that as long as we're looking to God and allowing God to be our provision, he will provide for us. Did you ever read and notice that when the people of Israel came to the Jordan and when they got to the Jordan River, they ate of the corn of the land? And if you'll notice when you read this particular passage of Scripture, on that day, the day that they ate of the corn of the land, the manna stopped. See, as long as we're depending on God, God's going to provide. But when we start depending on self, God's going to let you do that. So we need to recognize that our provision comes from God, but we need to look to God for it. And we need to let him know we look to him for it. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem getting on my knees and saying, God, I got to tell you something. Without you, I'm not going to make this. I'm not going to get through this. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to this, that. I don't mind telling him that. And this, we sort of transfer the responsibility off of ourselves onto God. This thing's too big for me, God. I can't handle it. I need for you to take care of it. I need for you to handle it. It's just way too big. It's bigger than I am. And God said, just give it to me. I'm a big God. I can handle it if you'll just give it to me. See, we used to sing this little chorus years and years ago, and I started to ask Corey if they knew it, but then I remembered we hadn't sung that since he was born, so he probably wouldn't know it. But we'd sing this little chorus, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Listen, you would be surprised what a few little praises would do when you're needing from God. You'd be surprised that when you're in your hardest situation, it would seem like, and you're down as low as you thought you would ever go, if you would just begin to send up a few praises, you'd be amazed at what God would do for you. You'd be amazed at how you would touch the heart of God and that God would send down blessings to you. You know, I found so many times I've never been able to beg my way into or out of anything with God. I've never been able to cry my way out of anything or into anything with God. But I'm telling you what, you can praise your way out of it. Listen, you just let things go to happening in your life and just start praising God. And the reason for this is, what's this? The reason for this is when you begin to praise God, you got your heart on God. You got your mind on God. Are y'all there with me? So you just, when things begin to happen, you just begin to praise God. And somebody said, well, you know, it's hard for me to praise God for something that is hurting me or something that, you know, is not comfortable. I'm not saying praising him for that. I'm saying just praise him. You don't have to praise him. Just praise him. Praise him for the result. Praise him for what's going to happen. Praise him for the healing. Praise him for the deliverance. Praise him for those things that's going to happen. Listen, you may be living in today, And the enemy may be living in your past, but God's living in your future. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to get there. Isn't that amazing? God's in tomorrow. God's already there. Tomorrow, there's no time to God. So he's in tomorrow, and he's just waiting on you and I to get there. And when we get there, guess what? He's already lived it. He's already in the next day. Oh, come on. We got to realize that when our provision comes from someone that is that big, something that is that bigger than you can possibly imagine, then God has everything under control. God is our provision, and we need to praise him for it and let him know it. God will always provide enough, but he will never provide too much. God's not going to give you any more than you can handle. You know why? Because you'll waste it. Now, of course, most of you are not like me. You've never wasted anything. And God's been so good to you and give you more than you needed, and you threw it away. You know, there comes a time in life, and you just, God blesses us, and we get to thinking, well, we're going to always have this blessing. And so we get to being a little bit relaxed with it. And the next thing you know, we're not taking care of it. And the next thing you know, we don't have it no more. Are y'all there with me? In other words, God's your provider. He's your provision. And all you got to do, listen to me, church, all you've got to do is begin to praise him and begin to bless him, and he's going to bless you. God's going to, that's his word. And I believe that if we keep sending those praises up, if we send those praises up, then he will send those blessings down. But he's not going to send no more than you're able to take care of. God's blessings is not to be looked at lightly, but they're to be prayed for, and they're to be a very special thing to you. You know, sometimes we can get to that place of provision, and every time we need something, seems like God comes in just in time to provide for us, just before we go under. God always comes in and provides. But there's another level to that. There's another level of God's provision that you and I need to learn how to get into. And that place is God's continuous provision. God has a place of continuous provision that is a level that most people never get to. And that's when you're not waiting to run out. It's always there, and you know that God's going to take care of it. And when we're in that place of just provision, it's easy to slip into a crisis mode. Anybody ever lived in a crisis mode? Yeah, you're just waiting for it to happen. And then when it does happen, you're trying to figure some way to get out of it. God doesn't want you living in this crisis mode. It's that place that we're always responding to something going on around us. When you're in a crisis mode, you're responding to the things that are happening to you, so therefore you're not being very creative, and you're not being able to move forward in God, because all you're doing is responding to everything that's happening to you. You probably never have to get to that place. You've probably never been there, don't have to worry about that. But I lived there about half my life. I'm responding to everything that's happening for you. How many of you ever been blindsided? I mean, you're running along great. You think things are wonderful. You even think everybody likes you. And then all of a sudden, dadgum truth comes out. Are y'all with me? Listen, it's that place that we've got to come into, that we know that God is there, and regardless of what happens, his provision is enough for us. And I have found that the older I get, the more I have to depend on these words that I preach. I was talking to Martha Miller. We were sharing pains this morning. Right, Martha? We were sharing pains this morning, and she was telling me about her big toe hurt. I'm saying, I hurt all over. I've been hurting all over for 20 years, you know. She said, I think it's the medicine. What do you think? I don't know what I think. anymore. But what I'm telling you is the older I get, the more I realize that this thing is real. The Word of God is real, and that's the only thing that I have in my life that I know is not going to change on me. You may change on me. People will change. Circumstances will change. Situations will change. But the Word of God is sure and steadfast, Paul said. And we don't have to worry. It will always be just what it was in the beginning. What was there then is there now. What God would do then, He'll do now. We always talk about if we could get back to that good old-fashioned religion, we'd get back good old-time religion, get back to the way things... No, it's there. The only person that's changed is you and me. When we get to that place that we're trying to just catch up, trying to... We feel like everybody's passed us by and we're trying to just catch up. There's not much creativity in that place. That place is there, and we get involved in it because we're simply responding. I got to make up for lost ground. How many of you have ever felt like, I've done stuff, I got to make up for lost ground? See, with God, you don't have to do that. With God, you don't have to. With people, you may have to do that. But with God, you don't have to do that. And I've learned, I hope I don't offend anyone when I say this, but I've learned that most Christians are more worried about pleasing people than they are about pleasing God. Most Christians are more concerned about what people think rather than what God thinks. Come on. I mean... And we may not like it, but that's just the way it is. We get the word about what everybody. I wonder what people going to think if they were to know. If I sure hope nobody sees me, you know. I had to change a tag on my truck one time because I had Preach One on the back of my truck. Remember that? I had Preach One. And listen, I can't hardly stand to get behind somebody in the middle lane on I-10 that won't at least go the speed limit. Come on. Am I the only one that way? If you're that way, raise your hand. Well, you know, I can get so frustrated. And these... thoughts come into my head and these gestures come out of my hand. Thank you. And, you know, you're thinking, if I could just get my hands on them, I know they'd probably beat me up, but I finally figured either I got to change or I got to change tag on this truck. I changed tag on the truck. It was a lot easier. But most people care more about what people think rather than what God thinks. And He is our provision. Church, listen to me. I would this morning that God would give me the words to preach to you that when you left out of here, you would say, I know where my provision, I know who my provision is, I know where it comes from, and all I want to do is please Him. I don't want to offend no one, but all I want to do is please God. You know, we've become so politically correct in the world today that we can't really be Christians. If we do, we're afraid we will offend someone. Well, you know, we got to get past all that. We got to get past all. You know, there was a time when people didn't mind just letting the whole world know that they believed in Jesus Christ. And that they trusted Him in everything. I can remember I came up in the Methodist church. And I know we were not, we were not too Pentecostal-like and this, that, and the other. But we did believe in it. And some of us practiced speaking in tongues. And nobody said a word. Bishop was happy. We just, you know, we did our thing. That was it. We believed in it. So we could do that. And I remember being in one of my assignments in a church, and one in particular was in Enterprise, Alabama. And I remember I was in the store, and this guy comes on. He said, "Hey, preacher, aren't you the new preacher?" Because in the Methodist church back then, there was always a new preacher. We changed every other year, you know. So he said, "Aren't you the new preacher over there at the Methodist?" "Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'd like for you to come." He said, "Well, really, I don't go to church anywhere." "Good, come be with us. I'm trying to talk him into going to church." Then come to find out, the guy just wanted somebody to pray for him. He won't go to church. I said, "Great, let's pray." I just got him. I got down on my knees right there in the middle of the grocery store. People would be offended by that nowadays. Are you with me? What happened? Who are we serving? And you know what? I can remember he would say, hey, preacher, come on, man. People are watching. I didn't care. We got to get, I know that sounds odd, but we got to get back to that. We got to get back to where we want to please God. Let me tell you, when we stand and look him in the face, all of those people that you were afraid you were going to offend are not going to be there. All of those people that you thought were going to be offended by you loving God and declaring that he's the God of the whole earth and you depended on him, they're not going to be there. It's going to be you and him. You're going to be looking him right in the face. Listen, I just want us to get to that place that we can love God. We can love God. I'm not asking you to run to the store today instead of checking out, getting down in the middle of the floor, praying with somebody. But if someone were to ask you to pray, pray with them. You don't have to get on your knees. Just pray with them. I mean, it's time that we move past just letting God be our provider, let him be our provision, and let him know that we love him, and regardless of where we are, we're not ashamed of him. Because I assure you that if you are ashamed of him in this day, he will be ashamed of you in that day. So we recognize that when we're trying to catch up, we're always responding, and we can't be creative, and we can't be who we really are, who God created us to be. We're always trying to obtain for ourselves. Correct? Paul said, "Return not again to salvation." In other words, what he said is, go past that. Look, if I ask you to pray for me, And I'm going through something catastrophic like I did with my heart problem, and you start out your prayer with "Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and save my soul." Listen, man, I need somebody who's already done all that. I need somebody to get to the throne room of God. And listen, I don't care if you jump and holler or run or shout or whatever. I don't care. If you can get God's attention, that's who I want to pray for me. Are you with me? In other words, I think that we need to recognize that when we're at that place in God, that we don't have to worry about obtaining something that we should already have, and we can move on to where we need to be. That's when God can use us. We're always, see, when we're trying to obtain, it becomes for self. You're trying to obtain for self. I'll give you a good example. When you're obtaining for self, have you ever noticed the new car ads on TV? Have you ever, that's so much fun. I love to watch those. And they got, boy, they're real creative in them too. But I've noticed that when they show the most beautiful convertibles, and everybody is under 30. You may think you're 70. No, look at yourself in there. You're driving that convertible, wind blowing your hair. You just got two beautiful women. Look. All this. I noticed that they never show anybody pulling up to a gas pump. They never show anybody buying car insurance. They never show anybody writing out a car payment. You know why? Because all they want you to focus on is obtaining for yourself. That's what the enemy would like to do. Keep you focused on self. just keep you focused on yourself. And as long as you're focused on yourself, then you can't be focused on God. Well, let me tell you, if you stay focused on you, you're going to do you things. You're going to do selfish things. You're going to, I like what the way Paul said it. Paul said you're going to please the flesh. You stay focused on you, you're going to please the flesh. But when you get focused on God, then you're going to move into that spiritual area of your life, and you're going to begin to please God. Whether you please man or not is really not important. It's your relationship with God that's going to take you through those things that you need to be taken through when you get to that place that you really do need something bigger than yourself, and which is often in my life. Paul said you don't need to return back to those things. Ephesians 1:11 says that we have already obtained the inheritance. The price has been paid. You don't need to obtain anymore for yourself. God's already provided for that through Jesus Christ. Wow, no more gas pumps. Not really. But you don't need to return back to those things. Now, this provision, the foundation of God's provision, is obedience. The foundation of God's provision is obedience. If you're not obedient, you're not going to be able to receive from God. You're not going to be in that place to receive from God. You must be obedient. God told Elijah to go to this particular brook, the brook Cherith, and he went there, and God commanded the ravens to feed him there. This is so cool. God commanded the ravens. And the Bible says that the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. How many of you know that ravens are scavengers? They don't share food. I mean, they hoard, they eat all they can. They just gulp it up and they don't share it. But God said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. You go there. You get where I told you to go, and I'm going to take care of you. So many times we forget that we must be obedient. Obedience brings what? The blessing. Disobedience brings a curse. So we must be obedient. Most important thing we can learn in life is how to be obedient to God. If we're obedient to God, we're going to be blessed. We can't help but be blessed if we're obedient to God. God said, you go to this brook, and you stay at that brook, and as long as you're at that brook, I've commanded the ravens, and they're going to feed you there, and they did. But I love this. And after a while, the brook dried up. Dadgummit. That's probably what Elijah's thinking. Dadgum. What happened, God? Never did he realize that God's blessings were not over. Little did he realize that God was not going to stop his blessings from coming. He was just going to send them from another direction. He said, get up, rise, go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. I just love that. Listen, that word sustain just... I'm going to sustain. I'm not going to feed you to keep you from dying. I'm going to sustain you. And it's a continual thing. It's not going to just stop. I'm going to continually. She's going to sustain you. I've commanded her. And so Elijah, good old obedient Elijah. I'm so glad he was obedient. He gets up and he heads to Zarephath. And when he's entering the gate of the city, he looks and there's a woman, a widow woman that's gathering sticks by the gate. And so Elijah said to her, hey, how about getting me a cup of water? I'm thirsty. And I love this. And as she was going to get it, that's important. As she was going to get it, then he said, hey, fix me a little morsel of bread while you're at it and bring it to me. She said, hey, look, I can take care of the water. I can take care of the water, but the bread I don't have. Now, watch this. What were they in? a drought. The Bible tells us they were in a drought. It had not rained for 3 years. They were in a drought. And the first thing he asked for is what? Water. He needed to know her level of obedience. Sometimes God will ask you to do things to see what your level of obedience is. Oh. Are y'all all right, or is it? Okay. Do this for me. Okay. Just making sure I hadn't lost anybody. No, what's your... Sometimes God needs to know your level of obedience before the big thing comes. He said, I need to know if you're going to get me water in the middle of a drought. That's pretty cool. You're going to get me water in the middle of a drought. I know you're going to give me some bread. She said, the water I've got, but the bread, I don't look. I only have a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to go fix what I have. My son and I, we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. I said, no, you're not. You don't die. Because God said that if you will fix me a cake of that bread first and bring it to me, the meal won't run out, and you'll have plenty of oil at the end of the day. You just do what God says do. It's that obedience. It's obedience. Let me tell you something. Obedience is going to take you through the worst trials of your life. And I always find it hard to believe that people would do exactly what the doctor says. Come on. Will do exactly and precisely what the doctor says, but they tend to not listen so closely to God. I'm preaching. I don't know if y'all... Listen. When the doctor says something, you listen. Oh, come on. I'm going to make sure I take the right medicine at the right time and the right amount and all this. I even look at the color of the pills. I tell the farmers, oh, y'all change the color of my pill. Come on. I don't trust the people. I mean, they're human. They make human error. But when God says it, we tend to, sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. And God's the one that makes the pills, the stuff to make the pills. Are you guys with me here on this? I'm just here to tell you this morning that God loves you, and if you would just give him an ounce of obedience, he'll give you a pound of blessings. Just give him an ounce of obedience. And so here's this widow woman. She has, she said, I can provide I can get you the water, but I'm the bread, I don't know about, because I'm going to do this. I'm going to eat it, and then I'm going to die, and that's going to be the end of it. And then you won't have to worry about me, and I won't have to worry about you. Well, really wasn't that a way, but you understand what I mean. So here is this woman. He had asked her to go get the water, and he saw her obedience level was up there. And so then he asked for the bread. But she wasn't willing to go to that next level. And I began to ask myself, what level am I willing to go to? You know, the Bible tells us that if, and I'm using this as an example, I'm not preaching on tithe this morning, but I'm using this as an example. The Bible says that if you pay your tithe, he'll open up heaven and pour out blessings you can hardly contain. Isn't that what the Bible said? That's that level. That's that level. So you got to be obedient for that level, okay? But then there's another level. Then there's that 40, 60, and 100-fold blessing. What level are you willing to go to? And I'm not even talking about money. I'm just talking about obedience to God. How many times that we've stopped during the day and say, God, what would you have me do? God, what would please you more if I did this or if I did? Come on, am I all right? Are y'all okay? Am I preaching to you? Is it helping you? Well, then let's go home. I can only help you so much today. But what's this? That blessing of God is going to come through your obedience. And that provision that he's going to provide for you is going to be through your obedience. I love this. You know, I was pastoring. This is, I've been pastoring for 45 years. But I was in a small church in Alabama in a rural area. I will never forget this. And I was, this lady had, her son was in a car wreck, and we were at the hospital, and she was waiting. And she was standing in the hall like everybody else, and I went up to her and kind of put my arm around her and being doing the pastoral thing and telling her, you know, that God's going to take care of everything. She said, oh, I know that. So there's no doubt in my mind. She said, I don't know how he's going to do it. He's going to take care of this. And I remember the doctor came out later on, and he was telling her, telling her the progress of none, yada, yada, yada. He said, why don't you go home and get you some rest and then come back? He said, sir, I'm not going home because God's going to do something. I don't know when and I don't know what, but when he does, I'm going to be right here to see it. That's obedience. Come on, church. I'm telling you, we have got to get to that place that we can be so obedient to God that we forgot about self. That it's all about God. It's all about God. It's all about God. It's not about your agenda. We were praying this morning, Susan and I were, and we were praying, and I said in my prayer, Lord, I do not want my agenda to go out today, only your agenda. Whatever I say, let it be what you want said. And if it's not what you want said, let me forget it before I get up there. And if I don't forget it, don't let that seed in the hearts of the people. Only your agenda, God. Only your agenda. Stand up with me all over the building. God's provision, God's continual provision. When you get into that place that you want to be in the continual presence of God, receiving his continual provision, then you're going to have to walk by faith. Because watch this. God will give you stuff you didn't think you could ever have. God will ask you to do things you didn't think you could ever do. That's God Almighty. He wants to provide for you and be your provision, but he wants you to be obedient to him. You know, John 6:14 through 21 tells us about Jesus walking across the Sea of Galilee. And of course, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter steps out of the boat and he starts walking across the water going to Jesus. You know what Peter did? Peter did what you and I would call impossible. Peter did the impossible because he was obedient to God. Obedience will make you do the impossible. Things that you never thought you could do, faith and obedience together is going to bring you to that place you can do it. I believe that God is wanting us this morning, all of us, to do the impossible. I believe there's things in our lives that we've wanted to attain, we've not reached them yet, and God said, you can do it. All you have to do is be obedient. And in order to be obedient, you're going to have to get so in tune with the Lord that you can hear the still small voice. You know, when God begins to speak to you, and it's God speaking to you, everything else goes silent. Listen, you don't have a problem hearing from God because everything else is silent. Elijah didn't have a hard time hearing that still small voice because everything else went silent. Read the book. You'll find that there were thunderings and lightnings, but he didn't hear none of that because God wasn't in them, the Bible said. But that still small voice, he heard it because everything else went silent. God is wanting you to put your heart and your mind on him this morning and hear only him. And just in your mind and in your heart, say, Lord, let everything go silent but you. I want to hear from you, God. Everything go silent. When I walk out of here, I will have no confusion as to what you said. Because everything else went silent, and all I heard was you, God. I know exactly what you want me to do. I know exactly where you want me to go, what you want me to say. Because if you go any other place or do any other thing than God says do, the blessing won't be there. Father, I come to you this morning right into the middle. I just walk right into the middle of the meeting. I walk right into heaven's gate. And Father, I walk in and I ask you to minister to your people right now, each and every one of us that is coming to you with an expectant heart and a spirit that wants to receive. And I ask you, Father, to speak to us in that still small voice. Father, let us know where we can get to that place of continual provision, that I don't have to stop what I'm doing and beg you for something that you've already provided for me, that I know that is there. Father, that I don't have to pray for peace. I don't have to pray for harmony, unity, and all of these things. You have already provided those, and I'm going to get in that place of provision that I can live it, and it's there. It's a part of my life. And I want to praise you for that. If you have a prayer need this morning, if you have a need for a physical need, a spiritual need, or whatever, I would like for you to come and let us pray for you. I'm believing God for a miracle. I believe that there's people in this building this morning that needs to get to that place of obedience that God can provide for them on a continual basis. So if you would like prayer, I would like for you to come. Those of you that do not want or need prayer, I tell you, release you and have a wonderful afternoon. But I'm here. We're here for you. We want you to come if you have a need. That's it, all over the building. Come and just let God minister to you. Hallelujah.